Open my lips, Lord, to speak your words, and open our hearts to receive them. Amen. Please do sit down. Someone is coming. Why doesn't God step in and do something? It's what we hear from people who are suffering. Or expressed in the other way, the way which drains of all hope. If God really existed, he would not have allowed this to happen. It's the question when. When, God, will you step in and restore justice? Stop the wars, free the captives, heal the injured, stop the evil in the world. When? It's the same question that the disciples were asking of the risen Christ in this first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when you will take away our suffering at the hands of the Romans? Is it now? They had very good reason to be asking that question. They'd had the incredible 3 years of Jesus' ministry. The sick were healed, the blind had their sight restored, the lepers were cleansed. He taught the most incredible teaching that the world had ever seen, with authority way beyond any of their religious people, way beyond their leaders. What an incredible leader he was. What an incredible, wonderful teacher. Of course, he was also saying slightly odd things about someone called the Son of Man being raised from the dead after 3 days. But they couldn't understand this at the time. And then the religious people and the Romans captured him, flogged him, and put him to death on a cross. The disciples scattered. Terrified, they took refuge in an upper room and barred the door. This really seemed to be the end. Jesus had turned out just to be another charismatic leader who'd come a cropper under the Romans, when the Romans wanted to let people know who was boss. A wonderful leader, but a dead one. Like many charismatic religious leaders of the time, he was dead. And everyone, including the disciples, expected it would now be over. But then their women described an empty tomb, an encounter with the risen Christ. Then they met him themselves, and there was this wonderful period when they knew that Jesus was not just a religious leader, but actually the risen Son of God, who'd been restored to life by God. That everything he'd ever said had the endorsement of the creator of the universe, the creator of you and I. That it was truth, a more fundamental truth than any human knowledge, than the work of the Greek philosophers, than the wisdom of science. And he was with them, the death-defying, authority-overcoming, wonderful, loving friend that they'd got to know. It wasn't just a ghost. He gave them, verse 3, many convincing proofs that he was actually alive, resurrected physically, absolutely extraordinary. But now surely the kingdom would be restored. Israel's suffering would be brought to an end. But Jesus said to the disciples, as he said to us, verse 7, it's not for you to know the time or the times that the Father has set by his own authority. We don't get to know when the suffering of the world will be over. But we have a task to do in the interim. When he's gone, when he's no longer with us, while we wait for Jesus to return, we are to be his witnesses all over the world and over all the world, in our community, amongst our friends. We are to be his witnesses by how we live, by what we say, by the way that we treat our neighbours. And as the prison governor said at the leadership conference we went to earlier this week, every encounter matters. Every single time that we engage with our neighbours matters. And in the way that we speak of Jesus, in the way that we speak of the hope in our lives. It's not for us to know the time when God will step in and take away the suffering, when Jesus will return, but we have a task to perform while we're waiting, while we're suffering, while we are free from suffering. And we have a friend to help us. We have the Holy Spirit poured out on his disciples at Pentecost, poured out on us now, enabling us to do things that we cannot do in our own strength, that we cannot do by ourselves because of our weakness of character, perhaps because of the way that we've been damaged by our experiences as we grew up. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to change. We don't have to do it alone. Someone is coming. He's the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, change us. Change our community. Change the world. Amen.